A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. But you have the anointing that comes from the Holy One. You all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth. Verbum Domini.
Judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice. He will govern the peoples with his truth.
Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation nor by human choice nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him."
Verbum Domini.
It was 3 years ago this day at 9:34 a.m. Central European Time that Pope Benedict XVI, at the age of 95, went home to the Father's house. He died during the octave of Christmas, New Year's Eve. We think of his predecessor, Pope St. John Paul II, died during the octave of Easter on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. Pope Benedict had a great fondness for Christmas, and so it's fitting that the Lord would bring him home to the Father's house during the octave of Christmas. He called it the most human of all of the feasts of our faith. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And so there's a certain warmth that he would say to the Feast of Christmas. And in his home place in Bavaria, in Germany, they have a letter that he wrote at the age of 7. And it was a letter that he had written to Jesus. And here's what he wrote to baby Jesus. "Dear baby Jesus, soon you will come down to earth. You will bring joy to the children. You will bring joy to me too. And he enjoyed, even in his latter years, of celebrating Christmas. What was it that he wanted? What were the three gifts that he asked the baby Jesus for that Christmas at the age of 7 years? Quite different, probably, than from most children at 7 years of age. So the first gift that he wanted was a Volksschat, which is a German Latin prayer book. He wanted a prayer book. The second thing he wanted at the age of 7 was a green chasuble, what the priest wears at the Mass, so that he could, with his brother George, play the Mass like Pope Leo did as a little boy. They both had a sense, it seems, what they were going to be called to. So he wanted a green chasuble, where he could even at the age of 7 begin to practice a Mass, if you will. And then the last thing that he asked for was an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to which his own family had a great devotion. And he made a promise, I will always be good. I will always be good. So he teaches us about the joy of Christmas, and the article that was written by the Register some time ago had this about him. It said, living Christmas with the wonder of a child. That we think of Pope Benedict as this remarkable intellect. There's never something that I read that was his that I say, wow, what an insight he had into the scriptures, into our faith. And so we think of him as this towering intellect. But he also had this wonder of a child that he could always look at creation with the wonder and the eyes of a child, living Christmas with the wonder of a child. And so even toward the end of his pontificate, he had celebrated the Christmas Eve Mass at 10 p.m. And at midnight, he knocks on the doors of all in the papal household where he was. Auguri, auguri, joyful greetings, joyful greetings. He never, his secretary of so many years, Archbishop Ganswan, said that he never celebrated Christmas without singing all of the German and Italian Christmas carols. Of course, he himself was a musician. Pope Benedict was, as was his brother George. But he always loved to sing those Christmas carols, and what was one of his favorite ones to sing? Well, Stille Nacht, Silent Night, originally written in German. So it is for us, as we come toward the close of this holy octave of Christmas, but the Christmas season continues until the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, to look at this feast with the wonder of a child, to look at this remarkable event that we could never have predicted. The prophets foretold it, but they had no idea of the way in which God would accomplish these prophecies that they had been inspired with. But then it all fits together with the birth of this child. And so he wrote, Pope Benedict, in the night of the world, let us still be surprised and illumined by this act of God, which is totally unexpected. God makes himself a child. We must let ourselves be overcome with wonder, illumined by the star that flooded the universe with joy. Be overcome with wonder. Spend some time gazing upon the nativity scene, upon the babe there, to reflect on this truth. God has become a child. Another time, he had said this, God is infinitely great, and far, far above us. This is our first experience of him. The distance seems infinite. But then comes a surprising realization. The one who is seated on high looks down upon us. He stoops down. He sees us. He sees me. The fact that he sees me, that he looks at me, transforms me and the world around me. He raises the poor from the dust. And looking down, he raises me up. He takes me gently by the hand and helps me, to rise from depths toward the heights. This is the beauty of our faith and why he would call it the most human of all the feasts of our faith. There's a special warmth about Christmas as the very Son of God becomes man, the Word becomes flesh. And so in light of the beautiful prologue to John's gospel that we read on the last day of the year, John said this, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you feel overwhelmed by darkness? You feel overwhelmed by the news or what's going on in your family or you personally? Well, John reminds us in this prologue, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Even if you feel overwhelmed or overcome by darkness, the light has not been overcome by the darkness. It never can be. It never will. And the Magnificat has a beautiful meditation from Pope Benedict today about this last day of the year. And what we're going to do at the end of our intercessions today is that we're going to pray the church's prayer of praise and thanksgiving. In thanksgiving, the Te Deum. In thanksgiving for all of the blessings of this past year. And if you have the Magnificat, you can find this text that we're going to be using inside the back cover, is the Te Deum. But he commented on this, how this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving, and so it's a time for us to, he said, to reflect on the fact of the sins and things that we've committed and to repent of those and ask forgiveness for those, but to offer thanksgiving to God, regardless of what this year held. So here's again words of Pope Benedict. He says, this hymn opens with praise. You are God, we praise you. But then it ends with a profession of trust. In you, Lord, we put our trust, and we shall not hope in vain. So the Te Deum contains deep wisdom. The wisdom which makes us say that in spite of it all, good exists in the world. And that this good is bound to win. It is true, he said, that evil is noisier than good. Evil is noisier than goodness. When evil acts are committed, it makes all the headlines. It's covered in the news. But those simple acts of love, of goodness, of patience, of fidelity, of loyalty, those go unheralded. So evil is noisier than goodness. But the fact is that goodness has the last word. He said, for this reason, we cannot stop at just reading the news. If we wish to understand the world and life, we must be able to pause in silence, in meditation, in calm, prolonged reflection. We must know how to stop and think. In this way, our mind can find healing from the inevitable wounds of daily life. It can penetrate the events that occur in our life and in the world, and can attain that wisdom which makes it possible to see things with new eyes. Christians are a people of hope, even and above all when they face the darkness that often exists in the world. For Christians know that the power of faith can move mountains. The Lord can illuminate even the thickest darkness. Thank you, Pope Benedict, for helping us to look again, as you seemed it did, to look at Christmas and life and the world with the wonder of a child, the wonder of a child. Help us to do the same as we look and consider the nativity of our Lord. God became a child in order that, stooping down, he might lift us up.